Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
I get to introduce what we're doing now for the message portion. We're going to have a panel. So we actually have Mandy, we have Jackson and Jazz. Yes. So Mandy and Jazz are both a part of the CLY team as leaders, and then Jackson's our teenager. So I'm excited to hear what they all have to say and share this morning. So let's encourage them. And Mandy, you get to start.
So, first of all, I love clothes. I love shopping, responsibly, of course. I love having options, and my closet definitely proves that. That being said, I also know I have a lot of clothes that I don't necessarily reach for all the time. And I'm pretty sure that's not just me. I feel like we all have something in our closets that we love, don't wear, but it's there, and we just can't get rid of it. Maybe it's an old t-shirt of Dad's. Maybe it's the dress you wore when you got engaged, or the lucky belt you were wearing when you got the call about that dream job of yours. Maybe it's not clothes, but we all have something. So with that, I have some items I may not wear anymore, but I refuse to get rid of them because of something I'm reminded of. Things I used to wear at different stages of my life and in different seasons, and not just climate-wise, they hold meaning because in a way they represent who I used to be. I like the memories of my clothes, and I like taking them with me. Something familiar to cling to when life changes. Just like our saved items, I feel like we tend to hold on to our old expectations, old dreams, old versions of ourselves in the same way. Life is always changing, but we have to think about how much space we are allowing for the old stuff to take up every time something changes. How much baggage are we taking with us? So let's say over the last 3 years, I have faced a lot of change. A lot of change. I have moved 5 times, had 4 different jobs, tried bangs 3 times, 2 cars, Bible college, multiple friendship changes, and so many styles to boot. Unfortunately, the relationship status has remained the same, single, if you're curious. But safe to say, I know change well, and we're not quite on friendly terms. But through each change, it's been hard to let go of what was to make room for what is to come. There's a lot of different feelings. Excitement about what's to come, but a sense of loss of what was. It's being scared that the new thing won't be as great, or, you know, knowing that it won't. It's being scared, in a sense, like you're mourning it, right? Getting stuck in the past and not facing the future. It's the joy of a new beginning, but it's the grief of something lost. Change is hard, and a feeling that always tends to follow change, good or bad, is actually grief. We often think that grief belongs only when we lose a loved one, but in all honesty, grief shows up whenever something we love changes. We have all experienced change and grief in some capacity. Moving, growing up, or watching your kids grow up, friendship changes, graduation. We all go through seasons, highs, lows, winter, summer, but we celebrate the changes that happen through each season, but we can also grieve what has ended. In this season of change, a story that God has reminded me of is Mary Magdalene after the crucifixion of Jesus. So we're going to read in John 20, and it says, Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw 2 angels in white, but didn't recognize them, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head, one at the feet. They said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Having said this, she turned around, saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And supposing him to be the gardener, so Jesus the gardener, she says, Sir, if you have carried him away, Jesus, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him away. Mary was distraught. She was blinded by grief, buried by it. That was a massive shift in her life. Her friend, her teacher, somebody that had reached for her when nobody else did, is gone. And to her knowledge, it was forever. She was blinded by grief and simply looking for Jesus where he used to be. Her eyes were only where he had been and not where he was currently standing. And you know what, maybe today you're thinking, I can't relate to Mary. I don't really know somebody that has passed, but I actually think you can. Maybe it's a loss of a job, loss of friendship, loss of a partner. Maybe it's loss of a specific time in your life. Kids growing up and feeling like they need you less. Going from carefree teenage years to the burdensome adult years. But I promise it's not that bad. Don't worry. Maybe it's finances. Having fewer resources for the fun stuff so you can build the future. Maybe it's a season of life you loved, but it's changing. There's a feeling of grief in all of these, maybe just not identified yet. Grief is such a heavy emotion, not just because of what causes it, but how much we are weighed down by it. Grief narrows vision and essentially blinds us. The enemy tells us these lies of we are alone. There's nothing ahead of us. There's no chapter after, no sequel, the book is over. Grief is something we are meant to feel, but like any emotion, we cannot let it control us. God does not leave us, and he brings us hope. In Psalm 34:18, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And it's true, with Mary too. She didn't recognize him, but Jesus, later on in the story, said to her, "Mary," and she turned and saw him and said, "Rabboni," which is teacher, and there was joy, a new hope. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling for me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I have seen the Lord." So just by calling her name, Mary's eyes were opened to where Jesus truly was. Standing beside her, God met her in her grief. And you know what? Not only that, that he actually used her to carry out a very joyous message. He is alive. And it's the same for us. God meets us in our challenges. Sometimes grief is realizing that life doesn't look like the way you planned or expected. Sometimes faith is trusting that Jesus isn't found in your yesterday, but in your today and your tomorrow. Mary went into the tomb looking for what she had lost, but when her eyes were open, she found something even greater than what she had been searching for. Maybe you didn't know you're grieving. It took me a long time to identify the feeling, the fear of change, the joys and the sadness that come with it. When I pictured my life 5 years ago and what it would look like today, it's pretty different. Even 3 years ago, a year ago, hey, 6 months ago, you know, I have been so caught up in the feeling of loss in what was, I've been so lost in the feeling of loss in what was expected that I didn't see the joy in what was given. And I still feel the weight of some of these changes, losses even, but I have come to the realization that there's joy ahead. It's always easier to figure out the next steps where you know where you are now. So today, maybe you are grieving. Grieving a person, grieving a dream, grieving a relationship. Maybe you're grieving the expectations you had of what you thought your life would look like now. And that's okay. Let God open your eyes and let him walk alongside you and lead you out of that grief. Whatever you are grieving, remember that Jesus knows your name. He knows it, and he will call it, and your eyes will be opened. Just like Mary, even if you don't recognize him right away, he is beside you and alongside you, and he is right there, closer than you think, meeting you where you are, meeting you outside that tomb. So, maybe it's time, you all, I love clothes, you all love clothes, but maybe it's time to do a closet clean out. Identify the feelings and the loss. Toss the old clothes away, giving that grief to Jesus, and look to the next outfit that God has planned for you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jackson Van Ramsdonk, as Melissa said, and I've been coming to church since I was born. My sport that I do is called Muay Thai. If you don't know what that is, it is a fighting sport, and today I'm talking about how to be the light of the world. Something that I struggle with for shining God's light is in my Muay Thai class. It's hard to talk about God when you have known your fellow athletes for multiple years, but have vaguely brought Jesus into your conversations. That's because I don't want them to think, oh, he's one of those people. He's a Christian. I don't want to spar with him. That's where I need God to continue to grow my courage and trust in him. And so then I can continue to bring my conversations with Jesus into those relationships. If you have ever struggled with shining God's light in any place, you're not alone. I've been there, and I'm sure many of us have been too. Today, I did not have to follow the Nerdy Nugget theme, but I thought it'd be a little fun to learn what light is. The light is the form of energy that allows us to see things. Light illuminates our surroundings and allows us to see color, shapes, and the world around us. Of course, we know that. But the Hebrew word for light is or, spelled a little different. Or, in the Bible, is God's glory, presence, favor, and justice. It also symbolizes God's intervention, redemption, and healing. God's first miracle at creation was bringing light into the world. It is also symbolic in Exodus, as he brought darkness on Egypt, but left the Israelites with light. You can find that in Exodus 10, 21 to 23. Also in Exodus 13, 21 to 22, it says, by day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that you could travel by day or night. This teaches us that God is not a distant God, but a God that will go before us and prepare a way for us. This can look like God providing for you financially. It can look like him preparing opportunities to shine his light, or preparing the hearts of others to go and have a good conversation with them. It can also look like God going to the battlefield you're walking to, and he's already won that fight for you. Hebrews 6, 19 to 20 says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This shows us that Jesus, just like God, goes before us. Jesus is God. This means that he is the light of God revealed to us. Jesus says in John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What Jesus is saying is that he came down to earth so that we can follow him and have his light. And when we do, we walk in the way that God has chosen for us. In John 12, 46, Jesus says, I have come as the light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. This tells us that Jesus brought God's light into our world, and that we can obtain this light once we trust in him. And when we trust in him, we walk in the way that Jesus has provided for us. 1 John 2, 6 says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Jesus lived a perfect life. We cannot live a perfect life because we were born in a sinful world, but we can follow the way Jesus gave us an example of. Jesus brought light to darkness. He spent time with sinners, and he brought the truth to the lost. This means we can go into the world with full confidence that Jesus will go before us, and he has already built the path for us, and he has given us the direction to go out into the world. We can go and share the gospel, which then we are bringing truth to the lost. We are spending time with sinners, then we are bringing light, and we are also going to be bringing God's love and his mercy and his grace to our broken world. I have 4 points today on how to shine God's light. My first point is, let's live with integrity and righteousness. What this looks like is displaying humility, gentleness, and genuine concern for God's people. Humility looks like putting others first, and you can get this from knowing their true worth in Christ. Gentleness is having strength under control. And having genuine concern for others is truly caring about their well-being. God is working this in my life. He has shown me how deeply he wants to know for his children to know him, and he has helped me, and he has been growing on me to live with integrity and righteousness. My second point is directing the attention toward God, not yourself. What this means is that your sole aim is to glorify God with all your actions. And this means that you are not taking all the fame for yourself, but you're putting it towards God and glorifying God and putting others towards God with your actions. God has been growing this in me, making sure that I don't boast about my worldly achievements, but that I boast about what the Lord has done through me. My third point today is practical acts. This means that you shine God's light through your everyday interactions. Your actions should attract people, and once those actions attract people, you can bring them closer and tell them why your actions are attractive. God is teaching me how to make my actions attractive so that I could be a better bearer of God's image. These actions can look like being joyful and kind and gracious, even when it's hard. My last point today is refusing to hide your light. When you shine your light, you're acting like a lighthouse to others. And your job as that light is being faithful and steadfast and pointing others towards Jesus, who is the true light. There was an opportunity I got to be as a lighthouse was when I went to Hope Mission with our youth group. For those of you who don't know what Hope Mission is, it is an organization in the city that feeds the homeless people, and I got to go there and give them drinks, and I got to be a blessing just like Jesus would have been. As I was writing this message, God showed me that he is not only speaking to you, but he's speaking to me too. I need more courage at Muay Thai to bring God into conversations. Maybe you need more courage to speak to somebody in your workplace. Maybe you see a neighbor falling in sin and you need God's wisdom and his courage to talk to them and bring them closer to God. My challenge for you this week is that you use the tools that God has given us today. Let's shine his light with when we live with integrity, when we point towards others towards God, and we show his light through our everyday interactions. And we shall refuse to hide his light to others. Let's trust that God will go before us today, just like he did for the Israelites. This week, let's not just be consumers of God's light, but be givers of it too. Thank you, and have a great day.
My name is Jazz. If I have not met you yet, I would love to meet you after. I serve in CLY, and I say that because I'm a huge extrovert and I love meeting new people. But all right, so today I'm talking about wonder. And one of the things that I find about God is just how incredible he is and how big he is in the grand scheme of everything. We're small little creatures in this planet, and God created everything around us. And yet, he's saying, I love you. And so, I kind of want to start off with a story. Recently, I had the chance to drive all the way up to High Level. Does anybody here know where High Level is? I didn't. So, I find out later that it was an 8-hour drive. And I was like, oh, that's exciting. So it was High Level, very North Alberta, right before the territories. And it was a great 8-hour drive. We went to a wedding, and weddings are exciting. But the first few hours were mostly just trying to get through Edmonton and then passing a bunch of other cities and small towns. And no offense to cities, but there's not a whole lot to look at. All you see is just buildings and stuff everywhere, and you're like, oh, that's exciting. But once we got farther north, though, things started to change. During the last part of the drive, it got really cloudy because we know what season it has been. It's been spring all summer long. So it got really cloudy, rained for a bit, and then the sun slowly started coming back out on this drive the last few hours, and it was amazing. I remember looking out the window and seeing the sunlight breaking through the clouds. The farther we drove, the lower the sun got, and the sky started filling with these awesome shades of orange, purple, and peach. Who here ever just sits outside and look at the clouds? If you live in the country, one of the things I like, I'm sure you have seen these views before, but I remember just like this magnificent wonder in his creation to sit there, to just bask in it. And that profound reverence comes back to me. That in the grand scheme of this planet, the vastness, you know, I'm a huge space guy. And I realize it's just like our universe is huge. We are this minuscule little organism on Earth. And yet the creator of the universe said, I took the time to create you. Look, I have created you even in my own image. And look, I call you my sons and daughters, and I will love you forever. Isn't that incredible? Just like how small we are, and yet God sees us. And so, church family, my message today is less of a message, but more of a reminder to realize that the love God has for us is immeasurable. That the God who painted the skies, created the mountains, oceans, stars, planets, and yet he looks at us and says, you're the one that I love, and I will continue to pursue you. And I will hold nothing back to be with you. I will be with you wherever you go. And so, church family, let's sit in that for a moment. The same God who spoke billions of galaxies into existence created you and I. The same God who existed in the beginning of time knows your name. He sees you and I and our every failure, every struggle, thoughts, every dreams and ambition, and says, I want you. He calls us by name and he says, I want you. And the only question is, will you accept my love? God is offering something so divine and so incredible, and he's asking us, will you take my love? Romans 8, verse 38 to 39, it says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I think today with CLY taking over, I think it's fitting to kind of talk about when I was a teen. I spent a lot of my time separating and ignoring Jesus until I started coming to City Life, to youth. And then one day, I was sitting alone in my basement reading the story of Abraham and Isaac. And I'd heard this story before. Abraham and his wife Sarah had been praying for a son when God finally blessed them with one, Isaac. Then one day, God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac to kind of test his love and faith. And we know Abraham's character. And so even in misery and despair, Abraham obeyed, but God provided a ram at the last minute. But when I was reading this story, I was sitting in my basement. That day, something clicked. Something clicked, and I realized that God wasn't just asking Abraham to do something difficult. The whole story was a foreshadowing and pointing to what God would one day do for us through Jesus. Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his son because God provided a substitute, but when it came to us, God didn't spare his own son. He gave Jesus for us. He gave Jesus for me. In Romans 8:32, it says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" And that realization hit me hard because I had always known that God loves people. I knew Jesus died for the world. I knew he forgives sins. I knew those were things I'd grown up hearing in Sunday school. Those things were things I heard in Catholic masses. But it was a fact that I knew, not a reality that I lived in. And something changed where I had finally personally experienced who God is. Then I sat there in my basement. My heart changed, and I was bawling. I remember my parents coming home, and I think they probably saw me crying and a little embarrassing. But I think they asked why, and I just said I struggled with math class. But I didn't want to admit yet because I had a rough relationship with God. But God took everything I knew in my head and brought it into my heart. For the first time, I realized Jesus just didn't die for humanity. He died for me. He knew every mistake I'd made, every sin, every selfish decision, and he still chose the cross. On that Garden of Gethsemane, when he wanted to pass on that cup, he still says, "Your will be done, not mine." And that right there, his love became something that wasn't distant or separate from me. It was something that was deeply personal. And I remember being overwhelmed and couldn't stop thinking, why would you do that for me, God? I knew I didn't deserve that kind of love. I've sinned too much, hurt too much, been ignorant for too long. I cried and I prayed and repented because I realized I wasn't responding to an idea of love anymore. I was responding to a God who knew my very heart and loved me anyways. And church family, I just want us to remember, God's love isn't based on what we deserve. It's not something we earn. It's unconditional. God looked down at the broken, sinful people like you and me and said, "I love you so much that I won't hold anything back." And a lot of us, when we bring something to the feet of Jesus, we picture ourselves as people who are knees down, head down, bowing to a God who's sitting on a throne. But I want us to paint a new image that God isn't sitting up there high and mighty. He loves us. He's a friend who kneels down with you and says, "My son, here I am for you." And that's why I wanted to share this today, because maybe you're here this morning forgetting what Jesus has did. Jesus died on that cross for us. He bore our sins for us. He took it to the grave and rose again and defeated death so that you and I could have eternal life. Because maybe you're here this morning and maybe you've forgotten what it felt like when you first encountered Jesus. Maybe life has gotten too busy to pray and sit and bask in his wonder. Maybe you've slowly drifted in your faith. Maybe you've gone back to old habits that you don't want to go back to. And maybe shame has convinced you that you've messed up too much. Maybe guilt has caused your heart to slowly harden. But can I remind you something today, church family? When I sat on that basement, I realized that God hasn't stopped pursuing us. His love hasn't changed. His grace hasn't run out. He's still sitting there with us. The same God who met you before in your sin is still inviting you to come close today. And so again, this message isn't a message that I wanted to tell, but a reminder to think back to what God has already done for us. Jackson talks about being a light in the world, and Mandy talked about struggling in grief, and I just want us to know, God meets us where we're at. We can be a light, and we can work through the struggles because God has held nothing back for us. And so when I think back to that sunset in northern Alberta, I still remember how small I felt. I was in awe of God's creation, but as beautiful as that sunset was, it still doesn't compare to the love God has for us. Because the God who painted that sky, the God who created every mountain, every star, every sunset, looked at you and looked at me and said, "You're worth giving my son for." And so again, church family, I ask you, will you accept God's love today? Will you accept the unimaginable love and just abundance that he wants to share with us? So if I encourage us to stand, I'm going to end my message here. Because if you're sitting here today and you are struggling with maybe your past, maybe you're struggling with an identity or depression or anxiety, or maybe you're struggling with a physical ailment, I just want us to remember that we are not defined by the brokenness of our sin. We're not defined by our old sinful habits, bad decisions, or our mental and emotional state, but rather we are defined to be God's children, appointed to carry a mission to share the gospel and be living testimony, be a living light, a representation of God's love, mercy, and goodness. And so I want to end with this. Church family, if life is getting too fast, if there are certain things that you've forgotten about God, may we not take his love for granted. May we not forget the day that God has encountered us and saw us where we were at and brought us here. May we not take for granted the love that he offers every single day. And so I want to encourage us, let's slow down this week. Take a moment to pray with a heart of gratitude, remembering the day where Christ encountered you at your lowest. Let's read the Gospels. Let's seek God in his word. And let's read the accounts that teaches us who God really is. And lastly, let's not lose our wonder for Christ. May we live every week, every single day, remembering the beauty of who God is. And so, church family, let's think about what it's like to accept his love once again, if you have fallen. And let us remind ourselves that God is here for us, no matter what. So let's bow our heads. I'm going to end us in prayer. Lord, thank you for this incredible morning that we get to talk about you, where we get to sit in your presence, Lord. May we continue to remember the love that you have poured out over us, the love that you continue to pursue us with. And Lord, may we stop running from you. If there are people here whose hearts are hardened by shame and guilt, whose hearts are hardened by pride, Lord, may we just be humble enough to say, God, I want to be with you. I will seek you in every moment of my life. Lord, I just want to thank you that you continue to pursue us and that you're waiting for us to just turn around and see you. May we not separate ourselves, but be able to see that your love for us is deeply personal. Thank you, God, so much for who you are. And church family, I just want to pray, if you could repeat this prayer after me. And this is just a prayer to declare our commitment to Jesus. So if you could repeat after me, Jesus, thank you for who you are, for the blessings that you pour out, for the love you have for me. Thank you that you are willing to meet me in my lowest, to encounter you there, but be able to see your love through it. And so right now, God, I commit my heart to you. I commit my life to you. And may your will be done in my life here on earth. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.